Thank you. Won't you please keep your Bibles open to that passage in Luke as we have a look this morning, as we finish off in our series of What's Christmas, What's All the Song and Dance About? And this morning we're going to have a look at a song that the angels have sung. Now, as I was preparing this, I just was again reflecting on the fact that, sure, another year has passed. Time has just flown this year. Seems like just the other day we were celebrating New Year. And here we are again, Christmas Day 2013. 2014 just around the corner. And yeah, while the year's been busy, I think these last couple of weeks and the build-up to Christmas has just flown past with all the activities, social parties, Christmas wrapping and presents and shopping and everything else. And often, I think, I sometimes just sit down and I think, you know, what an absolute waste of time. We go to the shops. I mean, the other day, Helen and I went up to the mall here. It was mid-afternoon, and we drove into the mall, and there was a queue into the one parking lot. There was a queue into the other parking lot. And I said to Helen, you know what? What we need is not that important. And I did a U-turn in the road, and we came home. Just not interested in all this hustle and bustle that's going on. But actually, in the Bible, Christmas is given a hang of a lot of fuss. There's a big song and dance about Christmas itself. Now, in the section that we're looking at this morning, I actually only just want to pick up on one verse this morning, on verse 14 of chapter 2. But just let me bring you up to speed with what is happening in the story. And you'll remember that in chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, we are actually told that Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem after a census had been issued and that people needed to go to their hometowns to be counted. Mary and Joseph arrive in the town of Bethlehem. You all know the story very well. They couldn't find a place to sleep, and eventually they found a stable. And Mary then gave birth. Perhaps it was the bumpy journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem that caused her to go into labor, and she gave birth on that night. And while all this was happening, the angels then approach a group of shepherds who are sitting out in the fields surrounding Bethlehem, perhaps sitting around a fire keeping themselves warm, when suddenly this angel appears before them, and we read this in verse 10, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, in other words Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And after the angel then goes on to explain where the Savior can be found, the angel is then joined in verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God. A great choir, if you like, of angels. I wonder, you know, it'd be an interesting picture to see there. There's one angel in the heaven, and then suddenly were the heavens filled with the angels as they all came and praised God. But what we see here is the story that the angel had delivered a message, and then he was joined by many, many other angels who then sang a song. Perhaps, as in the analogy of what we're looking at, there was this big song and dance about what was happening. And the angels really say three things to us this morning, and I just very briefly want to pick up on those three phrases that they say. And in verse 14, I want to have a look at those this morning. I'm going to look at them backwards because I think it's helpful to understand why they were praising God in the first place. So, firstly, this morning, I want to have a look at God's favor. And you'll notice that at the end of verse 14, the angels sing, on whom his favor rests. Now, this, I think, is the most important part of what the angels having to say. Because unless God looked favorably upon us, none of the rest of the message that they had to sing would make any sense. One commentator suggested that this verse could read, among men who are the objects or the recipients, if you like, of God's good pleasure. In other words, what the angels are saying is that the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world, has happened not because we wanted it to or because we deserved it, but because God wanted it to be done. Perhaps it's a bit like a parent wanting to do something for the child even though the child does not deserve it. And as human beings, we all know that we have rejected God. We might think we are good. We might think that because we do this or do the next thing, that people see us as good and they want us then to follow God. Or they, because of the good that we've done, they or we think that we can be with God. But the Bible tells us that every one of us in this world, whether we are young or whether we are old or whether we are somewhere in between, every one of us deserves God's judgment upon our lives. Every one of us is like that naughty child sitting outside the principal's office. All they deserve is the punishment coming to them. And that's you and me, friends. That's what we are like in God's eyes. We are that naughty child sitting outside the principal's office, waiting for what we know will be harsh punishment. But God does not want us to have to face His wrath, His punishment, His judgment. And so what did God do for us? God sent His Son into the world. He looked favorably upon us. And He said, I don't want us to face judgment, therefore I'm going to send you my Son. It's exactly what the Bible refers to as the mercy of God. Have a look, it's on the screen here, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4. And Peter says this, in His great mercy, I suppose we could say, in the favor of God, what has He done for us? He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Of course, the birth of Jesus is the beginning of the fulfillment of what God had planned. And it means nothing unless we look at what Jesus did for us on the cross and in His subsequent resurrection. Many people get hit up about the cute little cuddly baby. But if we only leave it there, it means nothing. It's just another baby in the world. But when we take that baby and follow Him through His life to what He ultimately did for us, suddenly it means lots more to us. The birth of Jesus is God showing us His favor. Not because we've done anything to deserve it, but just merely because He wanted to. No wonder the whole of heaven sang out at the birth of Jesus. No wonder the sky was filled with that multitude of angels singing to God. But there's more to this than just God's favor upon us. And this is my second point this morning. God's peace. And you will see that here. Many people in this world today talk about peace. In fact, the late Nelson Mandela received a Nobel Peace Prize. He promoted peace in this world, as many, many other people do. The United Nations was formed out of the whole thing of wanting world peace. And the Bible says to us that we are to live at peace with one another. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, do we see that happening? We see fighting, we see bloodshed, we see anger. Yet the angels sang, and you'll see this in verse 14, that Jesus was coming to bring peace on earth to men. You'll see that there, the second line, verse 14, and on earth, peace to men. Now, I'm sure you must be thinking to yourself that, well, this hasn't really happened at all. So is this message relevant to us today? Didn't the writer here, in this case, Luke, get this message wrong? Didn't the shepherds perhaps understand the angels incorrectly? Because we don't see peace. We all have people that we are perhaps not at peace with. Even the UN sometimes have to use force to bring peace. So what is the angels really saying here when they sing on earth peace to men? Well, remember that, as I've already said this morning, that each human being in this world have rejected God. We are enemies of God. And the birth of Jesus and his life and his death and resurrection, through that, we are now given peace, real peace with God. Kings and presidents and policemen can bring about a limited amount of peace, but they're unable to offer us peace from our passions, from our grief, from our envy, from our illnesses. No human can offer us peace in our hearts, which, if we're honest with ourselves, is really what we want. But as God enters our world in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, he now brings in the means for each person in this world to have total peace, inner peace, with God, which has the outworking, as it works out in our lives, of relational peace with those around us. But until we have that inner peace in our hearts, we will never have peace in this world. So I believe that what these angels are saying here, what these angels are singing and dancing about, what they're creating this whole big scene about, is the fact that we don't deserve anything that God has done for us, yet in his love for us, he has sent us his Son into the world to make us at peace with God, even though we are actually enemies with him. So on this Christmas day, the song and dance about Christmas is the fact that we, through Jesus, now have access to our Creator, even though we have done nothing to warrant it. And when we accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross, when we admit that we cannot do anything in our own strength, that we are sinners, that we can't get to God, the Lord Jesus fills that void in our lives, and we have this inner peace. An inner peace that helps us in our relationship with God, that helps us as we face the struggles and the trials of life, and the peace that helps us in our relations with other people. I think a couple of verses in one of the other Gospels really tie up what the angels are saying here. Well-known verse, John chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Let me read them for you. For God so loved the world, I suppose we could say, therefore God looked favorably upon the world. And what did he do? He gave us his only Son. So what do we need to do? Well, whoever believes in him, in his Son, will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In other words, that we might have peace with God. And then John goes on to say that whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see what the angels are singing about? Without Jesus, there is no way that we can get to God. And so the song and dance about Christmas is that God has stepped into our world, even though we don't deserve it, to bring us into a relationship with God Himself. So we need to follow Jesus. And perhaps this morning you're thinking about this and saying, you know, I know about the baby Jesus. I know that He came into this world. But I've never taken it further than that. I've never understood what following Jesus is really all about and why the big fuss is about Christmas. And perhaps this morning you want to come and chat to me, or you can pick up this little leaflet. There are a few lying on the chairs about what Jesus has done for us. And you want to ask the Lord to come and be your greatest gift. As we heard a few moments ago from Flocky, as he was talking about the greatest gift that God brings us. Perhaps you want to do that this morning. But notice then what the angels go on. Not only has God shown His favor to us, not only has God brought us peace with Himself through Jesus, but you will see there that the angels now bring praise and glory to God. Just think about this for a moment. If this is what God has done for us, then as people who openly reject Him, then how should we respond to Him? We didn't deserve it, but He's given us more than we deserve. What we deserve is to be punished, to be sentenced to death forever and ever. But God has said no. So how should we respond to Him? Well, just like the angels did. Notice the beginning of verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. Perhaps just to help you think through this a little bit more. Imagine at this time of the year, you're driving down the N2 there. And you were listening to some great song on the radio. And you were singing with it. And you weren't concentrating on what you were doing. And next minute, you see a policeman standing in front of you saying, pull off. And they've just nailed you doing some excessive speed. Over 200, let's just say that. You're guilty. You've been caught now for speeding. And they arrest you, just like they did to two of our newsworthy items in the country. And you're in court the next day. And bail is set, but it's some astronomical figure that you won't ever be able to pay, even if you max out your credit card. And as you're standing in court and you sort of say, well, judge, I cannot pay that fee, someone approaches you and says, don't worry, I'll pay your bail for you. I will pay the fine for you. Total stranger, you've never seen the person before, but they're going to pay the fine on your behalf. How would you respond in a situation like that? Would you just say, no, you can't do that? Or would you say, oh, thank you, what can I do for you? I think the latter is probably what we would do. We would be grateful to that person. We'd want to do something for that person, even if it would be a menial thing like buying them a slab of chocolate to say thank you. But I think we would go a bit further than that and try and do something else for them. But you see, friends, that is exactly what God has done for us. We treat God in the way that is wrong. We've broken His laws. We've broken His commands. We've rejected Him. But God says when we are standing in the court and God is accusing us of not following Him, Jesus comes and says, don't worry. I'll take your punishment in your stead. How can we not, friends, praise God? And what does praising God mean? Does it mean standing up and clapping our hands and singing songs and waving them in the air? Well, partly, yes. But it could also mean other things, like following the instructions that God has given us. Trying to obey God in what we can do. You see, praising God is more than just singing. It's how we live our lives for Him. in how we do. It's what we do when we're working at work, when no one is watching us. It's how we respond in different situations. And so the song and dance about Christmas is that while we were enemies of God, He still loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son into the world, initially as a baby, but ultimately to take our punishment that we deserve upon Himself so that He could bring us back into a relationship with Him. Our response should be to turn to God, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to listen to Him, to live our lives for Him, to obey Him. And so as we close off our time together this morning, on this Christmas morning, are you able to sing with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest"? Are you living for Him? If you're not, well, then you're not at peace with God. And try as you may, without accepting the favor that God has given to us in His Son Jesus, you will never have peace with God. So why don't you make this the best Christmas of your life and turn to Him today? Accept the gift that God is giving you. Open it and use it as He wants us to. If you do follow the Lord Jesus, if you are at peace with Him, well then praise God, like the shepherds did. If you look down to verse 18 and following, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. And verse 17, when they had seen Him, what did they do? They worshipped God, they gave glory to God by telling others about Him. So friends, let's go from here today as we reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give thanks to Him for His favor, for the peace that He brings us. And let's praise Him as we live our lives for Him. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just thank You for our time together this morning. We thank You for Your word. And we thank You, Lord, that You looked favorably upon us, that You came into our world, that You came as a little baby, giving up everything that You had, so that we might have peace with You. And so, Lord, we pray that as we go from here, we would praise You, not just in singing of songs, but in living our lives to Your honor and Your glory. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.